The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 99 for Wednesday, February 12th, 2014. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where myself and my friends gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight is Mr. Ben Bumhofer from Azeroth Roundtable, Battle Pets, Geektopia, and Flex Mode. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Look, man, I'm excited because, I mean, you and I have been friends for a little while online. We've actually done some dungeon runs together in the World of Warcraft. And I didn't realize how many podcasts you actually did. So I'm familiar with Azeroth Roundtable. That's the, you know, it's a obviously a WoW-related show where you guys kind of do a roundtable discussion on kind of current, I guess, gamer topics and game topics. But fill us in on, fill us in on that, but then fill us in on the other ones because I'm curious.
Okay, well, Azeroth Roundtable, like you said, it's, current topics that things that are going on. It what it really comes down to is my friend John and I, we just kind of start up and we're like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And sometimes we have guests and we just kind of go with the flow and, you know, really try to make it like, you know, you're sitting there somewhere talking with your friends about WoW, whether it's, you know, something that's gone grossly off topic, talking about stuff that, you know, happened in game, out of game, or, you know, just all about MMOs in general. So yeah, have a lot of fun with that one.
Absolutely. Well, it's a fun game.
Definitely. And you know what? We're coming up on 50 episodes pretty soon here, so there's always something to talk about, which is really good.
Nice. I was introduced to your show when my girlfriend, Jocelyn, obviously you know Joss, was on the show. I think back when she first started writing articles for Doghouse, I think you guys had her on because she was writing about her experience in Warcraft, coming to it late, like having not been playing for, you know, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, it was actually a really great episode because she had just hit the level cap. And, you know, I wanted to bring someone in who, you know, was very new at that just to kind of see, okay, what did you think about leveling through the whole expansion and catching up with everybody? And I mean, it was a really great episode and we had so much fun having her on that we brought her on two more times since.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the most recent episode in my queue, my podcasting queue for later this week while I'm working away here in the studio. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Battle Pets is also WoW related.
Yes, it is. It is actually all about pet battling. It started with Aludra and Kephis a little over a year ago. And unfortunately, Kephis decided to take his leave of absence from that, and Aludra asked me to join her, and we've been raring to go ever since.
Nice. I mean, for our listeners that don't know, it's like a mini game within World of Warcraft where you can collect different pets and kind of fight them against each other. It's very similar to Pokemon.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like a stripped down version, but the complexity that Blizzard's actually put in the game is kind of surprising for something that's just, you know, a little mini game that's, you know, a lot of people play on the side.
Yeah, and it's got that whole collect them all sort of feel to it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
How many different, you know, Firehawk pets do you have and all this kind of stuff. I know Jocelyn will be all over the place in Azeroth and she's been like wandering through this like frozen tundra for like, you know, a day. I was like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm looking for the Arctic fox and I cannot find him. Just like, okay.
I know exactly where she is too.
I was like, all right, is he that important? You know, insert dirty look from girlfriend here. It's like, yes. Okay. So he's that important. All right. Well, have fun with that. I'm going to go do something else. I actually haven't been in Warcraft in a long time. But when I was not a battle pet person. I tried it. I went through a couple stages of it. It was okay, but I prefer mounts. That's where I kind of want to collect and get them all and have all those kind of cool stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of those too. I mean, I collect everything, so you know, I just happened to be on the show about the pets, which, you know, works out great for me because before the game actually had the battle pet concept where they were just companion pets, I was collecting every single one I can get. So, I mean, the fact that they opened it up to battling as well just like opened up this entire new world for me to play with.
Yeah, I remember when I first had a Warcraft carrier. Warcraft carrier? Wow, that was a slip of the tongue. Character, 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years ago now, I was on an Alliance server and I was a human warlock. And so I had the imp pets, but I also had a cat. And I always thought it was fun to just kind of have the cat out following me around, kind of like the witch warlock thing going on. Because it wasn't a black cat, it was a gray cat, but I had a big gray beard. So it kind of, it all kind of was cohesive in my RP plan. So what's Geektopia about then?
Well, let's see. You met one of the co-hosts at Nerdtacular last year, Steve, or Alakaz, as he's known in WoW.
Oh, right. He was the Dungeon Master in our Star Wars tabletop game.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. But he wanted to do a show because he was in podcasting for a while, then took a break, and you know he wanted to start something. And, well, Geektopia is kind of what came from that. And all it is it's usually about a bi-weekly show, and we just kind of pick a geeky topic and just kind of geek out about stuff.
Oh, like so not too different from the Citadel Cafe then?
Nope, not too different. We usually stick with, we'll have a geeky news of the week thing. So, you know, just like something really quick. And then we'll just have like a one topic for the night. Like our recent episode was Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. I told Steve about the machete version of, you know, watching all of the movies.
Right.
And he's like, you know, this is interesting. I want to try it. So I'm like, great, let's do this. So we've been going movie by movie, you know, taking breaks here and there to, you know, have a different topic to kind of break it up a little bit. But, I lied. The last episode wasn't Episode 5. We did Episode 2. So sorry about that. But
oh, it's all right.
Yeah, regardless, you know, we have a bunch of random geeky stuff. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite book series in the next episode, which is coming up in a couple days.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, a lot of fun on that one. Yeah, we also have Lita or Kim. She's from Australia. So, you know, we're halfway around the world as well. So it's a lot of fun.
That's really cool. It's nice to get those different perspectives from people in other countries and stuff like that on all the geeky stuff that we enjoy. We've mentioned the Machete Order here on Citadel Cafe before, and Jocelyn and I are about to embark on watching Star Wars on Blu-ray. I've seen them obviously several times, maybe only once through, I think, on Blu-ray. But Jocelyn has only ever seen the movies once or twice.
Oh, through. Wow.
And probably she's probably seen all of them once and then, you know, one or two of them a couple of times. But we're going to do the Machete Order. But then I thought, well, I don't want to cut stuff out that she is like, it's one thing when you've seen them, you know, 100 times to try the Machete Order. But it's something else when you've got someone that's only seen them like once or twice through. And I don't know if I really want to do that. And
you know what? Coming from experience so far, because we've done 4, 5 and then jumped to 2. And I'm really trying to look at it, you know, with new eyes to be like, okay, I'm going to pretend I've never seen this before. I'm going with just what I know. And from what I've seen so far, I will say cutting out Episode 1 makes Episode 2 a lot better.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, doesn't completely go against, you know, different story points and everything in the original trilogy. It sets Anakin up to be a better character. And so far, I really like the order. And, you know, from seeing the movies over and over and over again, seeing where it continues and, you know, a lot of the stuff that's actually foreshadowed into, you know, from Episode 3 to Episode 6 and everything is, you know, setting up for a much better overall experience from what I've seen so far.
Interesting. So the other thing that we were thinking about doing, because every once in a while we run out of stuff on Netflix. And I know now that the Clone Wars cartoon show from Cartoon Network is wrapped up. I want to know, I will look up where to insert that into the movie canon, because I've heard from actually my friend Kyle Ferguson, who is on Biggest Fan, who does a very similar thing to Geektopia, where they become the biggest fan of a kind of like a pop culture topic.
Okay.
And they do once a week. I think they pick something ahead of time, so they'll do like a whole month of being into something depending on how much time they have, and then they'll do like a 1 week episode kind of thing.
Okay.
I was on their Canada Week in 2013. It was fun. But the conversation that Kyle mentioned was that characters that seem kind of out there, like General Grievous in episode 2 and 3, have
just
a lot
three.
More. Is it just 3?
Yep.
Wow. I'm so confused. So he has a lot more weight in 3 if you see him and know him from the Cartoon Network cartoons. And so I'm thinking about trying to go through this order, and then when we get to between, I think, episode 2 and 3, watching the cartoons.
And, you know, I can see where that's a good idea. And, I mean, it helps out a lot because I've seen the whole series and I really enjoy it. There are some episodes in the first season that are kind of, you know, not as good. You know, they're definitely aimed more kind of towards the kids, but that's cool because, well, you know, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, and those first seasons are always like that. Transformers Prime was like that too. It was very episodic. Whereas at the end, they do kind of like a two-parter, or there's like a couple episodes that lead into it. And then second season, there's, you know, things that have to get wrapped up in 22 minutes, but there's also this large plot that goes through the whole season. And that's what I find. Like, I feel like I've seen the first 2 seasons of Clone Wars, and I agree with you. The first was kind of like, it's really kind of smacking me over the head with this.
Yeah.
But the second season I felt got a lot better and the characters got a lot broader. And it got violent. Like, I remember.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
I remember him putting his lightsaber through the chest of somebody, and I was like, "This is a cartoon. Like, what is going on?"
I was actually saying the same exact thing to Sarah, because when it was still airing, we'd actually sit down and watch it together and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh my god, this is so brutal!" Like, okay, they're lightsabers, and yeah, they have to kind of kill people, I guess. But still, it's just really neat with how big a scope that the Clone Wars actually did become. And like you were saying, how there's a, you know, overall story arc and everything. There is, I mean, especially in the last season, they had, you know, a really big, complex, you know, like political aspirations, and there's like a darkness that's growing. And I mean, it actually, even though I know they had planned some more before Disney bought everything out, it set it up really well for the end of it. I mean, there's like some huge loose threads that I would love to be finished, but you know, oh well.
Yeah, well, you might get that from J.J. Abrams.
I hope so.
You never know. Well, that was a nice Star Wars, I guess, sidebar. Tell us about Flex Mode before we get into the meat of the show.
Well, this is going a little bit back to WoW. I just put it at the end because it needs a little bit of special attention, because this is something that's, I mean, while I love doing all my other shows, this one just usually makes me just die laughing throughout the entire recording of it. what Flex Mode is my friend John, and then Ro, he is the host of Realm Maintenance, and Rem from Torrent Think Tank, the four of us get together, sometimes there's guests as well, and we essentially create our own lore for World of Warcraft.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's such a blast. The last episode that we did was all about one of the original concepts for what the next expansion was going to be, which was going to be Rise of the Iron Horde, or not the Iron Horde, that's what actually is happening. It was Rise of the Mongrel Horde. It was the idea that Garrosh is going to go and from the end of Mists of Pandaria, he's going to go out and actually gather all these different races from Azeroth and just build his own army and his own new perfect horde based off of that. So we made our own lore on it and added the idea of a tourist mode to raiding, and we had a whole lot of fun.
Wow.
And this is the best way to understand where Gary the Rosh Hellscream comes from.
Wow. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
So, I mean, obviously people tuning into that show have to be pretty steeped in Warcraft.
Kinda. We tend to make up enough that we try to explain little bits here and there, but for the most part, it's so wacky and out there that, you know, you don't really need to know too much.
Cool. That sounds like a fun brainstorming session, almost like a storyboard session for you know, coming up with new concepts for movies or like Pixar films and stuff like that.
Things
that you would see happening in like a gaming or an animation studio.
Seriously, it's all out there. I think the episode before that was our board game episode, where we essentially created a Clue or World of Warcraft Clue, you know, with the weapons that we kind of came up were fun, the characters and everything. And
right.
Like, I think one of the scenarios was Anduin Wrynn was killed by his father with, gosh, what was it?
Like, is there a candlestick in it? You know, take candle. That would be amazing.
That would be good. My favorite weapon that we had was actually one that I came up with, which was a box of Murlocs.
Nice.
So yeah, like I said, really out there, but that stuff is a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really creative show. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I feel like you guys could benefit from a storyboard game that we used to play in school. It was called Yes And. Have you ever played this?
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
Okay, all right, so you know what I'm talking about then. I mm-hmm. think that would be hilarious because there'd be no holding back. Like, you have to accept everything that everyone says mm-hmm. and just go from there. And you could end up in some very interesting places depending on who your guests are.
You
know, especially if you had someone that was really, steeped in lore, you know, or people that have been in the game for a long time, like Scott Johnson or Brian mm-hmm. Ibbett, or some people that have really good senses of humor, but really good senses of the game too.
Oh yeah.
I think it'd be very interesting. Right on. Well, a little bit of a teaser for next week on the Citadel Cafe. As you guessed, we're hitting episode 100. So I'm excited to hit this milestone. It's been a long time coming, and I've got a special surprise geared up for everybody. So stay tuned next week, same bat time, same bat channel, for episode 100 of the Citadel Cafe.
Very cool.
I'm stoked. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's all I'm going to say, because that's what we call a teaser. I don't want to keep talking about it and let something slip. The other announcement that I have today is that the show now has a sponsor.
Right.
Yeah, if you are the kind of person that listens to podcasts, and I hope you are, or listens to music, then you might be interested in Tweaked Audio at tweakedaudio.com. These guys and gals create very unique earbuds. They are designed for great sound, for music and for talk. They are noise reducing, so they have got those little, not suction cups, they're like little rubber inserts that block mm-hmm. out outside noise, compatible with iPods, iPhones, most MP3 players, and they've got like 7 different styles, mic'd, non-mic'd. You can see them all at tweakedaudio.com, and if you offer the discount code TCC into their little sacrificial box at checkout, then you will get 30% off your purchase, which is amazing. There's free shipping and a lifetime warranty included in all the purchases at tweakedaudio.com. So by all means, check them out. If you enjoy your music and your podcast, then this might be a step up from whatever earbuds you happen to be using right now. I have a pair of the mic'd Black Classic, I think they're called, and I use them for running all the time. It's great. It really kind of puts you in your own little zone. So that's website once again is tweakedaudio.com, and the discount code is TCC for the Citadel Cafe.
I hear they have incredible customer service too.
They do. As a matter of fact, I think, and I don't know why, I think something was going on with my set, and I had to send it back, and I had a new set in my hand within a few days. Like, very it was cool. Just, you know, no questions asked. You put it in the bag, you send it back, they ship you a new one, and done. It was fantastic. So yeah, I'm looking forward to working with these guys. So yeah, so we can move into movies, TV, and video. Let the guests go first. What have you been watching, sir? And if you can, keep it spoiler-free.
Oh, of course. Well, before we even get into anything, I am so against spoilers that... Mm. Yeah, don't worry.
Good. We tend to lift pull back the curtain on movies and stuff that have been around for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But where your movie is recent, I just wanted to make sure we didn't spoil anything for the listeners.
Yep, just a little recent. Over the weekend, I was actually able to go see the Lego movie.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, spoilers, there's Legos. So, sorry, I know I let that little cat out of the bag, but don't worry, that's the only one I'll throw out there. You know what, there's a lot of hype about this movie. You know, there's getting good reviews by everybody on my Twitter feed, you know, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a pretty high score and everything. And I have to say, I really think that it lived up to the hype. I, you know, greatly enjoyed the story. The animation on it is just amazing. I mean, I had a conversation with my friend afterwards. I'm like, okay, now did they actually do stop motion with the Legos or did they actually CGI it? Because either way, it looks like Legos. And some of the details that they put in there are just, you know, mind-boggling at what they're doing if it's actually CGI. So tons of fun on that. Some of the sets that you see in there are just really, you know, neat, spanning, you know, years and years of Legos. The story is great. It's touching. It's hysterical. And I mean, I had a lot of fun with that movie.
Very, very cool. I really enjoy the clips that I've seen so far. Ryan Murphy was on the show last week and he shared a spoof trailer where they basically did the Man of Steel trailer, but in Legos, which seems to be a trend. I've seen a couple of different trailers lately that have been redone in Legos. I recently saw the Winter Soldier, the Captain America one. Now, this wasn't done by a professional studio. This was done by like a fan that was using Legos and like Premiere and some After Effects to kind of make his own trailer. It was still very well done, you know, considering it was a fan project. But all the ones that I've seen, all the spoof trailers from the Lego movie look awesome. There's even a featurette. If you look it up on the iTunes store or the iTunes trailer website, I looked at it on the Apple TV, and they have a little behind-the-scenes featurette about how they made it.
Oh, that was so good, too.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to see how they put it all together, and I find it so entertaining that, like, Morgan Freeman is God, and there's, Batman's in it, but he's dark and badass and has like all the cool stuff, but then he's pretty silly at the same time.
Oh, and it's in the movie itself too. It's like, I want to say that he steals the show, but it's woven together so well with the cast that no one really steals the whole thing. It's a very good ensemble piece.
And there's cameos from all kinds of spots that I've seen, like just glimpses in the trailers of little pieces of pop culture. Like I thought I saw Portal in there, and there's all kinds of different stuff that's just kind of dropped in.
Oh yeah, tons of stuff. And the voice acting cast as well is just kind of crazy if you think about it. You know,
yeah.
It's a movie about Legos, and Morgan Freeman is, you know, a pretty strong character in there.
Yeah. So did you find that in like a lot of these movies, depending on where they're made and how they're put together, sometimes the celebrity billing outweighs the script and the plot?
Oh,
and
not at all.
No? Okay,
not
good.
At all.
Good to hear, because that drives me nuts. Drives me nuts when that happens.
Yeah, either, you know, you're spending half the movie like, okay, what's that voice? I know it. Or it just, you know, it's like, oh, it's them and you're fine. This is one of those instances where, you know, you might recognize a voice, but it doesn't drive you crazy because what's being presented to you is just so all-encompassing of your attention that you don't really care all that much.
And it's so different. Like it's you know, when you're watching a Pixar film or say like a DreamWorks or something else, you can sort of see sometimes the actor in the animated character, depending on how the animators approached it, if the character is human-like. And if with Legos, though, there's not a lot of room for like stretching and squashing the face, because the way that they do it, it's just like the painted faces moving around, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's definitely something that I would like to see and possibly even see in theaters, because I'm picky these days about the things that I take the time to go see in the theaters, but that seems like a good one. I don't often see like comedies, but I usually see animated movies. So I don't know. I feel like this probably slips in there, because we went to go see Frozen in the theater and that was great.
I love that movie.
And then we went to go see Ender's Game in the theater, and that was bunk.
Oh, see, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. Good part of that was probably the presentation at the theater, though. It was not a great great theater to see it in. So,
well, did you read the book?
No, I was
that
coming to
it. That could
be
part of it too.
Yeah, no, and Jocelyn has. So we had a nice long discussion in the car ride home after, where she was filling me in about like how she thought they did well in some places and how she thought they didn't do so well in others.
Yeah, they had the gloss over a lot.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of internalizing in the book that they, I mean, you just can't do in the movie unless you want like a cheesy, voiceover.
Yeah, and the fact that a lot of that was done with him, like, writing letters to his sister. It's like, yeah, you know, they have to explain what's going on in the best they can, and sadly, that's the only way it could be presented.
That was one of my big disappointments about that movie, was they didn't show more of his relationship with his sister. Like, you got that it was intense, but you just... It seemed like it was much more important than they gave screen time to.
Yeah, in the book, there's a whole B story with his sister and brother, and there is so much going on with that too. I mean, if you have time anytime soon, I really do recommend the book, because it is actually quite enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to take that into. I mean, my reading list is as long as my arm.
Yep, same here.
And most of it's articles and stuff online. It's not even books, but I have a couple of books from Christmas I haven't even got to yet. Jocelyn is devouring the Warcraft books, though. I feel like I almost want to start, but I feel like if I start, I'm not going to want to stop. So I have to wait till I have a little bit more free time. So tell us a little bit about Phineas and Ferb.
So, okay, this is old. You know, it's been on, what was it, Nickelodeon or Disney or whatever. I don't even know what it was on.
I recognize it, but I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh, it is so much fun. So, you know, like I said, it's been around for forever. It's on Netflix now, so that's how I've been, you know, digesting it. And, I mean, I booted up. I had no idea what to expect. My friend Rem said, you know, hey, you know, Phineas and Ferb is great. A couple people I saw on Twitter said that, you know, they were super happy it was on Netflix. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take a look. And from the first episode, I just was, you know, laughing out loud, having a lot of fun with it. And, I mean, the concept, if you haven't seen this, is, you know, it's two brothers, they're stepbrothers, and it's summer vacation, and every episode is what they do that day. But it's not like, oh, let's make a lemonade stand. If they were going to be doing something like that, they would make a lemonade stand chain, you know, like with like a gigantic building and stuff. I mean, it's crazy some of the stuff they do. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, there's a side story with their pet platypus. He's actually a secret agent. And, I mean, it's... Every episode is like almost, you know, completely formulaic. It's, you know, this is what we're going to do. They do it. Their sister tries to bust them and they never get caught. But like what they do and everything is just, it's a lot of fun. I really recommend it.
Cool. Yeah. It seems very Saturday morning cartoon sort of stuff.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, having worked in the animation industry, I've done shows or worked on shows that are similar to that in scope, where it's kind of the same thing every day or every episode, but it's just done in such a unique way that it doesn't get old. There was a Fanboy and Chum Chum, I think. Was a CG show, and that was hilarious. Like, that was another sort of thing where it was really the same kind of personalities jammed into different situations, and you kind of knew how it was going to go, but the writing, the voice acting, and the one-liners that these guys would say would just, like, it was complete non sequitur, like left field, you know, like it would be like, hey, do you want to go get some pizza? Yeah, pizza is awesome. Just let me put my underwear off, you know, back on. And you're like, whoa, wait, what? And he's got his underwear like dangling off his ear or something. He's like, why? And they don't explain anything. It's just complete random stuff, right? I mean, that was so, so fun. And that actually is on Netflix in Canada now. So I'll have to go buy it, check out my old episodes of Fanboy and Chum Chum. I don't know if Phineas and Ferb is up here or not. Hopefully. We have that lovely little border that changes what happens on Netflix.
Which is weird. And you know what? We can complain about it all we want.
Yeah. I'm happy I'm on this side of the line because of the way copyright works in Canada versus the way that it works in the States. But it's it does mean that... Well, I mean, hey, we get, you know, Doctor Who and all the BBC stuff faster than you guys do. So
yeah.
Ha-ha! That's the one thing I can... tote over you guys. Everything. It's like, yeah, well, we've got, you know, insert latest blockbuster from like 6 months ago here on Netflix. You're like, son of a bitch, I have to pay $7 to watch that on iTunes. Brutal. Well, I have actually been in the cartoon world myself. The other night, Joss and I were exhausted and we just wanted to just curl up on the couch and watch something very easy with dinner, and we decided on The Croods because it popped up on Netflix.
Yeah, and I saw that and was really curious about it.
Yeah, and I have been too. I mean, I remember seeing the trailers and they seemed funny. It was one of those situations where I kind of thought we got all the good jokes in the trailer, and I was like, well, I'm not so sure about this, but I'll see it later if I don't catch it in theaters. You know, I won't kick and scream if someone wants to go see it, but you know, I'll catch it on home video or download. And the cool thing about these CG movies is that with Blu-ray and like HD and all that kind of stuff at home, like they look amazing. You really can't lose by watching them at home. I was intrigued because the extended trailer for The Croods showed a little bit more of the world and how inventive and how just picturesque and lush the world is that they created for it. So that really had me interested because of the you know, the concept artist in me and all that kind of stuff. So we watched it, and the movie was a roller coaster. It has good, often great animation. They did this really neat thing where the main characters, the caveman family, sort of have like ape motions, but sort of have human motions. Like they're a fun balance between, they've got little legs and great big arms. Sometimes they run on all fours. Sometimes they run on their hind legs. They act like people when they need to. They act like animals when they need to. One of the funniest bits at the beginning is that if you can imagine like a really angry terrier or chihuahua,
okay,
that's what the toddler acts like. So there's like, release the baby. And then there's this baby, like a, you know, little pigtail baby running around chasing the food going, you know, like it's just brilliant. And she doesn't talk, you know, she's just like this babbling toddler. But when she's in hunt mode, she's like this rabid dog. It's right out to lunch, right? And you know that somebody writing storyboards in the movie has a toddler that is just this crazy, you know, monster of a child that they decided to put in here. So, I mean, there's all these little personal touches that I thought were really endearing. The character design was interesting. They had really weird concepts for animals. Like, nothing was like, you know, dinosaurs and saber-toothed cats. It was not like Ice Age. It was, you know, you'd have something that would be a combination of a rhinoceros and a flamingo.
So kind of like a Missing Link type stuff?
Where
it's before modern, but not prehistoric?
Yeah, it would be a big cat, but it would be like, well, for example, the cat that's chasing him at the beginning, it's like a saber-toothed tiger crossed with an owl.
Oh.
So it sits there and perches, and it looks like it's hunched over like a hat cat, but then its head swivels around, and its eyes are set like an owl, and it is the scariest freaking thing.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, they're really, really neat designs. Like I said, the environments are beautiful. You know, it's very immersive, and you've got like the brilliant things that they can do with computers these days with atmosphere and really dense foliage and the combination of like, you know, matte paintings and CG and all this kind of stuff. Because I mean, the thing that blows my mind, of course, is as an artist, I know that all of this stuff just doesn't exist. Like it all has to be created by somebody teams of people. And it's really, really in depth. The amount of detail and thought that they put into, you know, all of that kind of stuff was very, very cool. And there are some very enjoyable moments in the film, but overall the writing is really bad.
Ooh.
The characters are not bad, but the tropes are bad. Gotcha. You know, like the dad doesn't like the mother-in-law and he wished that she would die. And every time she almost dies, he kind of sighs this like, oh, she almost died. And it's just like, okay, that was funny the first time that happens. And then they're like six or eight more times in the film.
Oh my God.
And it's just like, okay, I get it. And the dad in particular is, particularly one-dimensional. I mean, he's the everything new is bad, fear is good, stay inside your cave, never come out, survive. Like that is he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Much like the voice actor, Nick Cage, who is a no-trick pony. The guy can't act his way out of a birdcage. So just stop hiring him. Everyone just stop hiring Nick Cage for anything.
The only thing I'll say that I really enjoyed him in was The Rock. But that's because Sean Connery carried him.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he's a second fiddle in that movie. I just don't like him. And it's he's not a voice actor that can disguise their voice. Like he doesn't even attempt it. He's just Nick Cage. And it's like, well, everybody knows him. And then immediately you're taken out of it, you know? And he doesn't have a big, deep, neither do I. He doesn't have a big, deep, robust voice. And the character is a huge hulking caveman. And he sounds like a wimp. Like, it's really weird.
It's like, no, you gotta stay in your cave.
Oh, that's really good. that's exactly what he sounds like. Ladies and gentlemen, the Croods. And I mean, the rest of the plot is kind of telegraphed. I mean, there's a new guy in town who's intelligent and worldly, and he's voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, of course.
But it took me a while to put my finger on it, though. Like, he doesn't scream Ryan Reynolds, he's just got that kind of cadence and delivery that you eventually pick up on. Like, I know this guy. Who is this guy? And eventually he'll do something or use a line that, not to say that he's used in another film, but he'll use that kind of delivery and you recognize him right away. And the lead actress that played the daughter, who's another main character in the film, I was like, I know her and I like her, but I can't put my finger on it. It's kind of like when the first time you saw Incredibles and you couldn't figure out who Elastigirl was, or, you know, who Mr. Incredible was. You're like, I recognize the stuff and it's quality, but who are these people? And it's Emma Stone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I like her. I enjoy her in most of the things that I've seen her in. So again, like that, it has these moments where like this is really funny, you know? And really well done in places. But it's basically like any other family comedy that you've seen in the 80s. You know, Chevy Chase movies, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, like, I mean, all those guys. It's the same movie. You know, like, they have to go from point A to point B. It's giant family vacation. What could go wrong? Like, just everybody in a car together. It's like, instead of everybody's walking together. And it's just, yeah, it gets old fast. The only bright spots are these little side characters like this. I can't remember. Ryan Reynolds, his name is Guy. That's the name of the character. Eep is the girl. I don't remember the name of the dad. And the other character I really enjoyed is Belt. Belt is a sloth, and he's Guy's pet, and he really does hang on him like a belt.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's very clever. And he's the little purple guy from the trailer that, you know, whenever something really emotional happens, he goes, dun, dun, dun. Like, it's just, he's the doesn't really say words cartoon character. Okay. Something again, another trope, but they did that one very, very well. You know, there's the crocodile dog, like there's all these little things that they don't even have names in the movie, or if they do, it's very brief, and those kind of reward you for sticking through what is otherwise, you know, kind of a mundane movie. And I was really, really surprised. I thought that I was going to go into it going, I don't know, this, you know, hopefully this will be, you know, a big surprise for me, because when I first heard of How to Train Your Dragon, I thought, I'm not a huge fan of the art style. Like, I mean, like the dragons and stuff like that. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure it's probably pretty good. I went in there, you know, knowing that Chris Sanders had directed it. I'm a big fan of Lilo and Stitch. And How to Train Your Dragon blew me away. Mm-hmm. Like, fantastic film. So when The Croods was directed by Chris Sanders, I was like, hey, this is probably going to be a sleeper hit. Maybe it's just not great on the marketing side. Like, good films have lost traction because they've got bad trailers, or, you know, mm-hmm. they get overhyped or underhyped or whatever. And I was really surprised that it did not deliver in the way that a Chris Sanders film has delivered for me in the past. So take from that what you will, folks. It's entertaining. It's not a waste of, you know, a movie night, but it's not rocket science either.
Yeah, I'd say catch it on Netflix and don't run out and buy it.
No, I would. That's the first thing that Jocelyn said afterwards. I was like, that was, you know, I looked at it and was like, that was okay. You know, it has moments, but that was not bad. And she's like, yeah, it's not rewatchable. Mm-hmm. She enjoyed it, but she's like, I wouldn't want to sit through it again. Like, especially because it's so drilled into you, you know, how the plot beats are going to go. Like, you just, there's no, you know, tension at all. Whereas, you know, The Incredibles, everybody knows how it ends after you watch it, but
you want to run right back in and do it again.
Exactly. It's like, you just, the first thing you do is like, back to the beginning, hit play again. And we're off. And that's the thing. Like, I remember several times, you know, I put in The Incredibles, you know, on lunch breaks or something. And I'm just trying to, you know, fast forward to a scene that I like, you know, where Mr. Incredible's fighting a robot, or the Dash is fighting the flying things in the jungle, like all that kind of cool stuff. And I'd end up there for, you know, a half an hour going, geez, I'm watching the whole movie. Why don't I just watch from the beginning? Because you just can't turn it off. And this does not have that kind of appeal. But if you can ignore Nick Cage, then you will probably get through it unscathed. And pay close attention to Belt. He's worth, even when he's not saying anything, he's worth watching.
So now, would you liken him to like Steve from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Then. Yep. Then I know the reason to watch the movie.
Yes. Yeah. No, Steve from Cloudy. And I haven't seen Cloudy 2 yet. I need to.
It's, you know, I enjoyed the first one a lot more. But, you know, I will say if you want to talk about, you know, really interesting concepts with animals and the environment and everything, Cloudy 2 is perfect for that. So, I mean, they mix, you know, food with animals throughout the whole thing. And I mean, you've seen some of them from the previews, like the shrimp pansies and stuff. And I mean, it's really neat to see how creative they are. The story isn't all that great, but I'm probably still going to end up picking it up anyway, because it is a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, why don't we move on to what we've been reading? What have you had on the nightstand lately?
It's been there a lot longer than it should be, but I've been going through A Song of Ice and Fire.
Ooh, fun. You're not the first person on this show to do that.
Oh, yeah. And see, I love the books. They are, you know, phenomenal. I love the show as well, which, you know, I actually tried to get through Game of Thrones before the show actually started. You know, got a really good way through it. And I think I finished the book before the season ended. So, you know, I was happy with that. Two didn't exactly finish beforehand. Three didn't finish beforehand. But, you know, they're great books, but they're so heavy that I need to take a break in between them. So, like, my goal is to finish four and five, or, you know, book four and book five before the season starts in April, but I just don't see that happening.
Well, the good news is that the season that's starting in April is actually only the second half of book three.
I know, and I'm actually really excited about that because, I mean, the second half of that book, so much happens, and I mean, it's like, it's really time for some characters to really shine, and others, you know, you get a really good look at them and see what's going on. And then, like, the end of that book just blows my mind away. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all that on screen as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with that stuff on Citadel Cafe because we do a countdown.
Oh, cool.
Well, like, we're not a countdown, but like a weekly review. So the whole show just kind of turns into the Game of Thrones show for the 10 weeks that it's on on HBO. It's so much fun. I look forward to it quite a bit. Actually, Joss and I have been tossing around, you know, like, when do we have to start rewatching season three, you know, kind of to refresh our palate for season four?
It comes out to OWN next Tuesday in the States.
The season?
Yep.
On DVD, you mean?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. I shall have to look into that.
Definitely.
I have some things to order on Amazon. That might be one of them. That is something that I can rewatch. That is something that I will. I own the first season on Blu-ray. I have not picked up the other ones quite yet. But yeah, I definitely would be interested in eventually having that. It's one of those things where, like, I don't want to wait for like a box set of the whole series.
Yeah.
I don't mind paying, you know, the $40 or $50, whatever they charge for a series of them on Blu-ray. Because $50 for like 10 episodes on Blu-ray, that's actually not that bad.
No, not bad at all, you actually.
Well, they've got extras and behind the scenes and, you know, interviews.
With digital copies of everything too now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. With, I can't remember what it's called, Ultraviolet.
Oh, no, they don't do that crap.
Oh, they don't do that?
I mean, no, at least the ones that I have, they were all for iTunes.
I had an Ultraviolet disc. I think it was Man of Steel I got for Christmas.
Probably.
And
I know Warner Brothers.
It was easy enough to register it. I mean, like, and have access to it. I thought it just allowed me to download it from wherever, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is that I've had some not so fun experiences with Ultraviolet, and just being able to type in a code in iTunes and boom, get it right there. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's true. Especially because iTunes will remember that you own a copy of it, even if you delete it from your library and you're like, oh, well, I'm on a new computer and I need to re-download my stuff and I haven't seen that movie in a while. Maybe I'll put that one on instead of, you know, the old Spider-Man films or whatever it is that you've done before.
Yeah, and I'm all sad that my digital copy of Pacific Rim is just lost somewhere in the net.
Oh, that sucks. What happened there? Oh, that's the problem with Ultraviolet. Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened with it. I redeemed it, and then you know, said, okay, log in to redeem it. So I logged in, redeemed it, and then never showed up on any of my lists. And like, I had to reset a password somewhere in there too. So it's just gone.
Dude, they canceled your apocalypse. That sucks.
Yeah, I know.
That's no good. That's no good. Jocelyn would be so mad. She loves that movie.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Oh, that would be the end of all things there. Well, I don't actually have a lot of time for reading these days. However, I do get emails from Amazon reminding me how little time I have. And one of the things that I saw was The Emperor's Blades. And this is by Brian Stavely. And the Kindle edition was, I think it was on sale. It's now it's down to $14. But I feel at some point you were able to download a couple of chapters.
Okay.
For nothing, just to kind of read through it. It's basically about the death of an emperor and his children being scattered across the continent. And they have to then come back and try to claim the throne. I feel like the two sons are away and protected because they would be the natural heirs.
Okay.
And then the daughter remains and has to kind of like politically run the country, even though she's not the true ruler and she's not really accepted as a ruler because she's a female. And there's like those kind of a conflict in there. And there's, you know, oceans between her and her kin. There's elite soldiers that fly on the back of gigantic black hawks. Like it seems like a really cool fantasy novel. And I just, the description and the premise of it all just kind of intrigued me to the point where it sounded like something really cool and original. And it didn't sound like, you know, another Lord of the Rings with orcs and trolls and goblins and, you know, dwarves and stuff like that. And I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Lord of the Rings, but it seems like a really neat idea. So I thought I would recommend it for anybody that does have time to read. It's available in all kinds of editions on Amazon. And you might even be able to find a used copy in a bookstore near you. I don't know exactly when it was published. It's not saying anything right away. Website does not tell me right away. Anyway, it looks like it's out new anyway. So, you know, check it out, maybe even your local library. That is The Emperor's Blades by Brian Stavely. And I guess I would recommend it. I would recommend that it looks interesting. Yeah. That's about as far as I can get with it.
Actually, it looks like it, let's see, chapters 1 through 7 were available November 26th. So, yeah, it looks like it to be pretty new from January 14th of this year, I think.
Oh, cool. Very, very cool. Well, we can go into the Internet Minute here, and I have a very quick thing to share. It is, I don't remember exactly who shared this with me. I think it might have been John Sanford, who actually works at DreamWorks. I caught this on Facebook, and basically what it is, it's a clip of a dad and his toddler watching Man of Steel. Now, he's not letting the kid watch the whole movie, but he's watching the part where Superman flies for this first time, and it is absolutely adorable. This kid freaks out. He gets it like immediately. And I even had a couple of friends comment on my Facebook timeline saying like, I don't understand how so many adults poo-poo Superman and get all up, you know, in everybody's grill about, you know, the new movie and things are wrong and all this kind of stuff. And yet someone as old as, I mean, he looks like he's a year and a half, just
not even
gets it. Like he's just, yep, I'm on board. You know, I mean, he he starts to breathe quickly and he puts his arm ups in the air in the same position that Superman is doing. And he gets so excited when he's flying around. It's just brilliant. And do yourself a favor and watch, you know, a minute and a half of whatever of this little video. It's great. It's so much fun.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say I am not a fan of Superman. I actually haven't seen the movie, just the character, not so much. But watching this kid like totally just lose it, watching Superman fly, it made my heart break a little bit because it is just so adorable.
He's it's just so pure.
He's right? Like, he's oh my God, he's flying! This is great! It's just so good.
Yeah, the way that he starts to breathe, you can just feel that he's being sucked in and just like, he's flying. He's going really fast, so I have to breathe really fast, and this is really fast. Look at him go. You know, it really kind of takes you back to when, like for me, I mean, I am a Superman fan and have been since I was, you know, 5. So it takes me back to like, you know, running around the living room with a dish towel tucked down the back of my shirt and jumping from the coffee table to the couch and getting yelled at and like all this kind of stuff. So if you don't mind me asking, Ben, what is it about Superman that you don't like?
Do you have another hour?
No.
Okay, so I'm a Marvel guy. I absolutely love Marvel comics. Mm-hmm. And the big thing that I like about them versus DC is that, you know, their characters, you know, their superheroes and everything, they're very human, very real. And, you know, like they have lives apart from being a super. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of DC writing is, you know, it's all about them being the super part.
Yeah, they're essentially gods.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really enjoying Injustice, the comic series. I haven't really played the game, but it's really interesting to see, you know, what happens when Superman actually kind of loses it. And
yeah.
I mean, the idea that, you know, he is so powerful and, you know, he's just the Boy Scout and everything, it doesn't make his stories all that interesting to me.
And I have the same problem with Superman comics. There's a few series that I really enjoy and I go back to, like Kingdom Come is one of them. Birthright was pretty good. I've had a couple of other series recommended to me. I enjoy some guest spots that he does in some Batman themes like Hush and stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, like they're cheesy. They're over the top. They have to put, for a modern audience, they have to put so much in front of him. Mm-hmm. Or they feel they have to. And I would watch a Superman film about Lex Luthor, Robin Banks, and Superman stopping him. He doesn't need to save the whole planet every time he puts on the cape. You know, and I think that's something that I really enjoyed about cartoons as a kid, is that the Superman cartoons, he was just kind of saving stuff in the city. Like, he really didn't get outside of Metropolis, you know? There was a couple of things where he was taking on, like, Japanese soldiers and stuff like that in World War II in the really old Fleischer cartoons. But, you know, once you get into the Superman, the animated series, it wasn't until Justice League that they started getting into outer space and doing all this kind of crazy stuff.
Even then, those stories were okay with him. I mean, partly because of the whole cast of characters that went along with it.
Yeah, and they gave him limits. Like, there'd be a point where, you know, a plane would be going to crash and he'd get underneath it and he'd have to try.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like he could infallibly just lift the plane with a finger. Like, he would have to just push and you could see him struggle and like part of the plane would break off and then, you know, like eventually it would crash land in the water. It's not like he sets it down nicely back at the airport. Like, you know, it just, you know, there's, you know, everybody survives and because of Superman, but in the animated series, listening to Bruce Timm talk about the limits that they had to put on Superman to be able to write for him, mm-hmm. you know, made a lot of sense. And I kind of wish they would do that in the films.
Yeah. If you want a really good version of Superman, and I mean, this is just pushing it back to Marvel, but back in, gosh, I don't remember exactly what the time frame was, but you know, maybe the early aughts to 2010 or so, Marvel had a series called The Sentry, and it was essentially, hey, this is Superman, but our perspective. Mm. And it was just incredibly interesting how they wrote it. The Sentry has, you know, a lot of Superman's powers, you know, fly, heat vision stuff. Basically, he was the most powerful thing there was in the Marvel universe. And it was really great and everything, but when you started seeing like his persona and what was going on, he was like kind of getting like super stressed out. It was driving him mad because, you know, it's like, okay, he chooses to go save that plane from crashing, but he knows about the bomb that went off in the bank over there. And he failed because he wasn't able to do both. And it really weighed on him to the point where you find out that I think I want to say his nemesis was the Void or something along those lines. And what it was just his own darkness of his psyche. And it was just really interesting how they wrote everything and how he would, you know, routinely just kind of somehow have the power to make everybody forget that he was there. And like anytime it showed a flashback with him, it was like old comics of him like doing these super heroic deeds and everything. And it's another thing I recommend highly. It's just a really interesting look at the, you know, super, super powered being in a comic universe.
Interesting. So what about you, sir? What is your pick?
Well, kind of going along with, you know, Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, like big time. In case you couldn't tell from the beginning of the show, I am not the biggest sports fan, but something did completely intrigue me. Every day I go to a website called Geekology, and they had a link in there to some Star Wars themed football helmets. And what they did is they took the 32 NFL teams and just kind of reimagined them to something that would be in the Star Wars universe if they had football there. Like, you know, I really started to say this, but like I think it's the Chiefs end up being like the Naboo Gungans. The Jets are the X-Wings. The Broncos turn out to be the Tauntauns. And I mean, they go through every single team. They have, you know, new artwork for it that fits with the Star Wars universe. And it's something that is really fun to look at. I mean, some of the choices, you know, might not be the best, especially if it's like, you know, say your favorite team and you're the Gungans. I'm sorry. But it's a lot of fun to kind of see what, you know, someone took as an interpretation of what they could do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I like I think the Broncos are the Tauntauns.
Yep.
I talk about questionable decisions. The Steelers as the Droidekas, like
yeah,
I don't even some Star Wars fans are gonna go, what are those again?
Well, I mean, it the symbol kind of makes sense with
yeah,
them.
Like I mean, I can see your hands being a little tied, you know, working with the existing NFL franchise. I'm surprised that so many of them just have like the symbol on the side. Like I would have done something really different for like the Crimson Knights. Mm-hmm. What are they called? The Emperor's Guards. I can't remember what team it was. The Royal Guards. It's a white helmet with the Royal Guards on the side.
Yep, and that's the Cardinals.
Yeah, you could have gone a little bit heavier with, you know, using the helmet that the Royal Guard had as part of the helmet. You know, the Wookiees are great though.
Yeah, the Ryla Twi'leks are pretty cool. I think that's the Rams helmets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, the X-wings. Yodas is pretty good.
Yeah, X-Wings and Ewoks. Who would want to be on the Ewok team?
Hey, I like Ewoks.
Yeah, well, you know.
I know,
My girlfriend was an Ewok for a night. You were there.
Yep.
And she saved the day.
Really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll not read into that at all, anybody. Certainly don't tweet at GIS Gamer and call her an Ewok. That would be out of context.
Yeah, but she did totally save the day. So
she absolutely did with a headshot to a giant battle droid, if I'm not mistaken, from something one of like those itty little bitty phasers or lasers that the Ewoks could handle. It was like the last little sting from the from the wasp in the corner. too funny. Right on, folks. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on joelduggan.com/live. That's the chat room. The live stream is on alphageekradio.com. That's channel 1. Once again, it's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and of course, the episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, which is where you will find our show notes and links to all the cool crap that we've been talking about for an hour. You can email the show and tell us about your cool crap at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com and find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. Don't forget to tune into the Gamers Inn podcast every Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. If you're a gamer, tune in and listen to Jocelyn and Ryan as they break down their opinions of the latest gaming news and what they've been playing. They won't be doing it this Friday. They might be delaying the show just a little bit because Friday is Valentine's Day. And I think they're going to be taking some time off to spend it with their significant others. Aww.
Good news for you.
Yes, absolutely. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I'm up to online at joelduggan.com, including my book, StarCrossed Volume 1, which is available in my web store. You can follow me on Twitter at Joel Duggan and on Facebook at Joel Duggan Illustration. Ben, where can people find you and all of your lovely podcasts?
Well, the easiest way to find me, I'm on Twitter. I'm at AlTheMage. The easiest way to find my shows is all of them are on iTunes. So there's Azeroth Roundtable, Geektopia, battle pets. Flex mode is slightly different. You can find that at StormRideCast on iTunes or on the StormRideCast.libsyn.com. Again, definitely check that one out. It's a lot of fun. But that's about it.
Fantastic, dude. Thanks so much for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You'll have to come back when we do the Game of Thrones shows.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, when we do our Winter is Coming segment, we'll have to bring you on for one of the key episodes.
Hey, I am more than happy to do that.
Consider it done, sir.
Sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
I was trying to figure out which two I'd pick.
If I can find the link, I've lost the link. Oh no, Alpha Geek people.
No.
Hold on to your butts.